like that. It's gone
red. I really should try and make sure that's okay, but I'm not going to bother because that's so professional we are, Steve.
This is definitely not our fifth attempt to start the podcast.
Definitely not had any technical trouble. We definitely do have a fucking helicopter up above, which we reckon... Well, it's either Harry, isn't it? It's either Harry is being searched and he's desperately trying to make it here, but he's being chased for shenanigans that he only can imagine at, or it's Luton Arsenal later. Crunch match. Let's not go there too soon. Bit of a wobble at the weekend, but we don't want to go there too soon because we don't really want to talk at all about football. Whilst the big game was obviously Chelsea-Burnley, and a draw was probably a fair result. Clash of the Titans. Your game, 0-0.
Oh, we are going back.
No, we're not going there. We're not going there yet. But first of all, how was your Easter weekend? Are you fully recovered from the whole man flu business?
I think 95%. I'm still a little bit of a tickle, but sometimes that's a good thing.
All bloody rich on us straight away, Steve. So you're feeling better. Did you have a lovely Easter? Did you get up to any Easter-type shenanigans?
It was quite chilled. It was a couple of walks across the heath. Across to Kenwood House.
Do you have any?
When the weather was nice.
Any eggs? Any hot cross buns?
I had a chocolate bunny. Not a euphemism.
I'm sure that is something.
And then when the weather was a bit peaky, went to the cinema.
Oh yeah, what did you see?
For a very highbrow, I'm not really sure this podcast
doesn't matter how highbrow you go, I'm going higher with my film watching this weekend.
I'm not sure this podcast is ready for my review of Kong versus Godzilla.
Right, you have gone low.
I have gone low.
And? I've not wanted to see one of the new ones. I'm so old, I remember the original sort of Japanese black and white ones. And even more embarrassingly, being scared. I mean, how can we be scared of a cardboard cutout thing?
Well, very bizarrely, we went to actually go and watch Dune 2. And between leaving the house and getting to the cinema, we decided we just didn't want to really concentrate on what was going on the screen more than we had to. We just wanted to get some popcorn and see some bright lights.
Yeah.
And Godzilla was, I think, one of the shortest films they had on.
So it was a win-win-win.
So just go in, chill.
Yeah, no one's going to be overstressed. That's interesting, actually, because Daisy and Rufus were talking, they might go and see Dune tonight. But they won't let me go because I've not seen Dune 1. And they said that's just obscene. They still have never forgiven me because I mean, one Christmas they came home and I'd been watching something like 100 best clips from Game of Thrones. I've never watched Game of Thrones. They were absolutely disgusted. I mean, properly cross. I was going, what? I said, you're just watching the sort of pervy bits, aren't you? I said, I'm watching the 100 best bits of Game of Thrones, saving me weeks of watching it on the whatever it is they call it, streaming.
And how many of these clips were boobs and dragons?
A lot of them were boobs. A lot of them were people seem to be having sex with members of their family or pushing them out of windows. The one bit I do remember was a brother watching his sister have sex with, I think, his brother or his other brother. And then the brother that's being watched didn't like it, so he just pushed the kid off the window. And I thought, I could get into Game of Thrones, actually. I could see now, all of a sudden, there's some benefit to it.
I mean, I didn't know if it was Game of Thrones or just another Saturday at Stamford Bridge you were describing.
That is the sort of thing we would do. We won't go to Stamford Bridge just yet.
How was your Easter?
My Easter? So I did something quite extraordinary. We took Winnie and Raffy, the puppy, to Northumberland, Steve.
You did, of course. Like, I forgot to ask.
Do you know how far away Northumberland is? Basically, Steve, it's 20 miles from Scotland. That's how bloody far we went. Took us hours, 7 hours to get there, but it was almost worth it because it's a beautiful part of the world. I think I might have been there years ago, but I don't remember it properly. And this, we had, you know, 4 days. We were right on a beach, place called Low Newton next to the sea, and as promised by the name of the place, right on the beach. And it was beautiful. We got really lucked out as well. One day pissed down, the rest of it was sunny, and I quite really got into it because I've not been away since September properly, and it was just beautiful wandering around, lots of walks. I went for a bit of a swim. That was a mistake, it turned out, because I think you gave me your man flu, so I wasn't actually feeling that good. And I was feeling a bit rough, but I thought, you know, being a boring wild swim idiot, I thought, I must go, beautiful sandy beach, sun shining, that North Sea is a bit quieter than Hampstead Ponds, Steve. So fucking freezing, but very refreshing. I was a lot more awake afterwards than I was before. So that was good. Then we went to Bamborough Castle, and this stuff all happened like the 6th, 7th, 8th century. That's, what is that? That's not even Middle Ages, is it? That's stone, I don't know what that is, but it's post-Roman, but bloody old stuff. And they then, you've heard of Lindisfarne and Holy Island and all that? Like, we've all heard of it, I've never been there. Went over there, it's a causeway that floods, you know, when the tide comes in. Gemma is therefore on immediate panic mode the whole time, even though it says quite clearly, you've got 3 hours to come back safely. She's absolutely shitting herself. So we weren't allowed to go and fully enjoy, because they've got a monastery there that was set up, yeah, what's that, 1500 years ago. They make mead. And you know, it's like 16% proof. No wonder they don't care.
And
they're
stuck in
Ireland. Didn't get any of the mead. I'm very upset about it. But then if I drank the mead, of course, I wouldn't be able to draw it back again because I'd be utterly arsehole. It's basically like wine, but they sell it like it's beer. No wonder those people were so confused.
It explains where the birth of religion came from.
No wonder they were bloody stuck on an island. For no good reason. They put a beautiful landscape. The mainland's beautiful. Actually, the island's stunning too, but they've just put themselves there to get arsehole and make mead, get arsehole on mead, and then, yes, and devote their lives to God.
It sounds like the sort of thing that ends with you talking to imaginary people.
Yeah. You're seeing God quite regularly, aren't you? Jesus, all of that. But it was a lovely thing, and I think not quite long enough, because it's a long... Well, actually, it was a lot better coming back. The drive back was probably only about 6 hours, so it was quicker yesterday. But I thoroughly recommend it. But maybe... I'll tell you what you can do. You can get a direct train from presumably... What, Euston or King's Cross, isn't it? Up to Alnwick. That takes like 3 hours. Your trick would be to go up there with a bike or something. Because it's not beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. So I really enjoyed that. I mean, I didn't... But we did watch, entertainingly, because you talked about films. It's a National Trust cottage. So they always have some sort of DVD player. And I'm really benoticing. I turned the telly on, and it was obviously just on loop. The DVD was still in the machine, because we worked out later that it hadn't been switched off by the previous guest. But entertainingly, we basically stumbled into the early stages of that. I think it's a cultural phenomenon that I've managed to avoid for obvious reasons. You'll find out, but that actually sat through the whole of Frozen. I actually got quite tearful at the end. With the old moose man. I don't want to spoil it for anyone if they've not watched it, but it's quite an emotional ending. And of course, entertainingly, was getting quite tearful about the whole thing. I think Gemma fell asleep and woke up and said that I needed proper help in my emotional state. But yeah, so we...
Have you since been sidestepping puddles out of some sort of...
No, I didn't decide that I was the ice queen. I didn't think I was freezing everything, but I did... It was bloody cold though, but it actually, you know, as I say, we had got great weather and nice stove, and because we've got the puppy, absolute pain in the arse, you have to get the puppy out early in the morning. No lions puppy. Winnie, although she would stay asleep for ages, didn't care if we snoozed till 9:30. Puppy stages very own dirty protest if he's kept in for too long. So we're having to go for a walk at like 6:30 in the morning, so get the stupid puppy can piss and poo all over there.
But when you're on a weekend away, 6:30 is a very different...
Exactly. The point was, east facing, of course, Steve. Knowing that means sunrise over the sea. Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. I mean, yeah, and you're right. Whilst I cursed him and Gemma for getting him, once I was out there, it was fantastic. You're right. It's different. Because then you just mope about and then go home, have a bacon butty and a snooze. It's great.
I used to live opposite Egg in King's Cross.
Yeah.
And I can assure you, waking up and seeing the sights at 6:30 there, it's a very different 6:30 in the morning.
Yeah, they're having a very different time.
They're having a very different...
confused. But yes, I mean, it's a long time ago since... Actually, Gemma and I were reminiscing. I think we'd been somewhere in Brixton, and she was driving home for some rave, and it was daylight. Driving through London, it was 5, 6 in the morning, but it was so quiet. This is all pre-congestion charge days, Steve. Sent through, and it was great. This is fantastic. And because we were young people, you know, 4 hours sleep, up for brunch somewhere afterwards. Great time. But yeah, I've done that once the kids were born. Yeah, I'll be driving them somewhere unearthly hour in the weekend, seeing them crawling out of back when King's Cross was about three venues down there, wasn't it, in the day, and you see them. They are like they've been landed in a place they shouldn't be. You feel sorry for them. They shouldn't be in the bright lights.
Well, there's something very World War Z about seeing people get out of a club at a time when, you know, you're going to get your Sunday morning paper, and you're seeing people trying to discreetly pee somewhere.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
can't quite get their head around the fact that it's broad daylight and they could be spotted from a mile.
Yeah, and everyone around them is stone cold sober.
And everyone around them. It's Stone Cold Sober. So we should mention, not that the segue needs any encouragement, there is just the two of us.
Bizarrely, Harry, who literally yesterday, so even for him this is unreliable, said yes, could do early, didn't he?
He ignited the...
In fact, he started the get-together, didn't he? But he's flying tomorrow, which you'd missed last week, hadn't you, Steve? Harry's off on another holiday.
I did, I got here late last week, and apparently this is common knowledge.
Harry's off on another holiday. I mean, you know, that's another flight holiday as well. Not just like me, going to Northumberland. He's off to, I'm pretty sure it's Malaga, definitely somewhere sunny. And definitely on somebody else.
It is a admirable achievement.
It's only bitter, twisted jealousy that you're hearing here. We're thinking, how's this going on? What are we doing wrong, Steve? But I doubt he'll
not
make it.
Not paying our bills, presumably.
Exactly. That's what we do that for, suckers. So that again means, I mean, how did, oh no, unfortunately Liverpool won, didn't they, the weekend?
In fact, well, it also kills our very planned out segment on Liverpool's next boss, because every target seems to be getting poached by someone else.
Well, he's staying put, isn't he? Which is quite right too, actually, thinking about it, because they are going to win the league, Leverkusen, aren't they? And you kind of think that's quite as it should be. I mean, it's not like they're
club. Bayern have won it, what, 10 or 11 years in a row? Yeah. 10, I think. So it would be a bit bizarre that you win it and then you don't spend a year in Germany to really sort of
just rub it in, or maybe win it again, you know, really have Munich really pissed off, because that's the trouble with clubs like that, and a bit of why we're all gradually surely turning on Man City. There's something distasteful about the same team winning it, unless it's your team. Something very distasteful about the same team winning over and again.
Of course, it's also a win-win situation, isn't it? Because if should they go on to win it, which seems inevitable,
yeah.
If the second season was somehow a busted flush and it all goes wrong, his stock doesn't really drop off.
No, because he's still,
you've still beaten Bayern,
created a miracle. Yeah. You've still come from nowhere.
He'll still have his choice of clubs in 12 months, should he?
Yeah. Yeah, no one's going to go, oh, well, it was a fluke. They'll think, well...
I mean, the only slight difference is that there are a lot of big, big clubs all looking for managers this year. You know, Barcelona, obviously Liverpool, Bayern. So whether the market is as attractive in 12 months remains to be seen, but he's given no reason to rush.
I can't remember, maybe you can, the last time it was there's loads of really good managers on the market and hardly any teams looking. It always feels like there's always a, like Nate said last week, keeping, what's his name, Ben 10 or whatever his name is, the Man United manager. He was saying, but who would you get instead? Because there is nobody really obvious that you were a good manager that you'd say, oh, they'll be able to slot into one of those teams like Man United, dare I say it, Scousers, Arsenal. Those teams, it's a big job. You've got to know what you're doing. And there's not many managers that are up to it, really. And they're always snaffled up straight away, like you said.
Well, I mean, yeah, I suppose the problem is, you know, Potter was quite a big example of, you know, your stock goes really well at Brighton, and since his Chelsea debacle, I think he's been spotted in the crowd once or twice at various games, but
not been snaffled, has he?
But to my knowledge, he hasn't yet taken his next job.
No, I don't think he has. I mean, that's it exactly. You can go. I think the managers that make it, the ones that make it on numerous levels, even I can name. That's how rare it is. So it's like the Guardiola's, the Mourinho's, Ancelotti's, the Klopp's. There's hardly any that go from one success to another success in another, you know, there's only three or four leagues as well, aren't there, really? If you do it in Spain and then Germany and then England, they're the only three, and Italy, I suppose, they're the three or four leagues that count. And how many managers have done it in more than one team? Hardly any.
Well, there's a few. I mean, obviously, Liverpool are going to have to. I mean, I think the guy that's at Brighton,
yeah,
is now the front runner because obviously Alonso's staying at Leverkusen, and I think they were interested in the Moriam, the sporting manager. But the suggestion Barcelona are going to try and get
that's
him.
That's it. He's after him. They're after him.
So I mean, there's quite a few good young managers, but that comes with an acceptance of time. You need to be looking for
it's time and it's a gamble. They can't all do it, can they? They can't all step up and handle not just the team, the egos, the press, the owners, the pressure.
I mean, what you would probably argue is that the so-called old guard, the managers we're more familiar with, who have massive track records of winning, now almost represent a style of football that's being phased out.
Yeah.
So their stock isn't actually as high. The Ancelotti's, for example, as brilliant as his CV is, he's not at the top of as many lists.
No. No, and he's, yeah, I mean, he's still at Madrid, isn't he? He's still there. And
so
they're going to win the league?
They're going to win the league, I would imagine. So.
It's astonishing, though, because that's what I mean. It's astonishing. Like, I get, you're absolutely right on all that. I don't think he'd move in, like, Man United won't consider him, I don't think, or Liverpool. But he is quietly gets on with it, like he did at Chelsea. And I think the first double was Ancelotti. Just very quietly, complete opposite of Mourinho, who, you know, he was never out of your face. He just quietly trundled through without any problems at all, and then did it again at Madrid.
I feel like there's definitely like a buzzword around sort of young managers
yeah.
now. It feels like it's
you
the direction clubs
yeah,
are
yeah,
looking
yeah.
at.
Yeah.
So it'll be an interesting. Obviously, Harry was going to join us and tell us all about his Liverpool desires, but apparently not.
He just wheeled off that bloody disgraceful song again. That's all he'd have done. Actually, quite good he's not here. That would have been terrible. Good. So, I was going to ask you. So, yeah, how do you feel? 0-0 City. Bloody Liverpool top. Like we said last week, far easier run in the Scousers, haven't they?
It's very hard to get my head around the fact that Man City haven't beaten a team in the top five this season.
Yeah, I don't think we're even here. But I'm just saying it and thinking, is that right? And then obviously you've checked into it, and
so,
it is right.
Yeah,
it's bizarre, isn't it?
I mean, they've still got Aston Villa and Spurs to play, so their top five running
easier,
isn't.
They're easier too.
But they haven't beaten them yet so far this season. Liverpool, I think I'm right in saying, haven't beaten a team in the top three.
Oh, really?
I don't think they beat City, and they didn't beat us.
It's funny because that was always what you were saying. You have to beat them, haven't you?
So you've got Arsenal.
You used to always say you have to beat the contenders.
Yeah. So we've taken 4 points off City, 4 points off Liverpool. And there's still a really strong indication that we could finish second or third.
No, it's not right, is it? It's interesting. You are slipping points against, obviously, that means lesser teams.
Yeah, the West Ham and Fulham defeats.
It's starting to look a bit.
Starting to look really,
really nauseating.
Now, obviously, there'll be some people listening to this after the results from tonight's game are known. I'm assuming at home to Luton.
You're
going to
scrape
quite,
past Luton.
It should be quite comfortable.
Bucket load more goals. Who have Liverpool got?
And then they've got Sheffield United, so.
Oh, so they should be on. Is that at Anfield?
That's tomorrow,
as well.
I think. And then Man City have got, I want to say, Aston Villa. That sounds.
Yeah, I totally missed. It was an entire set of midweek games. I was looking. I didn't just miss it because I was driving all day yesterday. Didn't even notice till this morning. I was thinking, hang on, why have I got 3 points on my fantasy football league? I did well at the weekend. Then realised I didn't miss the entire thing. I didn't even realise. I knew, bizarrely, I'm going tomorrow night to see us play the Mancers. So I knew we were playing, but I thought it was one of the catch-up games. Because we've got, you know, games in hand with everybody else. So then I thought, no, it's a whole fixture list. How did I miss that? I'm not paying enough attention.
All the big clubs and Chelsea are at home in this round. So
yes, I did notice that because I looked at it for what would I have done differently. The only thing I think I would have done differently, or would I? Did I just see that they did really well? I think it was the keeper. I've already blown points on my sub keeper. Got 7. And when I left in, got 1. So I didn't do very well there. But yeah, I'm a bit miffed by that because I did quite well at the weekend. I didn't play my wild card, but I did do 2 transfers. I felt I did okay. What, 61 points? About the same as you? Was that the same as you, or a bit less?
Yeah, I was pretty in and around the ballpark.
Yeah, same sort of thing as you. Harry's totally lost the plot. I mean, I'm sailing away from him.
Yeah, he's got a 5-a-side team out, but he lasted longer than I thought he was going to, so...
Yes, Gally. We sort of need him here saying he's trusting his chaps. It's utter drivel.
We can just fill in the blanks.
We knew what he was going to say. We always suspected, trusting his chaps meant I couldn't be asked to do anything with them. So I didn't.
Well, as I say, I don't anticipate much of an issue against Luton. Obviously, if you're listening to this and Arsenal have just lost 3-0, get in touch. No Clean Sheets podcast on Instagram.
So that's it. That's the trouble, isn't it? It's all expected wins for all three of you. There'd be a massive surprise if any of you drop points.
If you're listening to this and there's been a surprise,
it was a massive surprise. It was a bona fide surprise as far as we're concerned.
Now, of course, there's another game week right around the corner. Yeah. It's the weekend.
No, I don't. Who are we playing? I think we're away. I've got to get sorted. I'm not going, that's for sure. So we must be playing away.
You are away. You're away at Sheffield United.
Yeah, see, we should be. I mean, the trouble is, though, after bloody late equaliser against bloody Burnley, a little bit of me wanted to get Callum back in because I'm sure he'd have been at the game. I wasn't, of course. I was sensibly 300 miles away, avoiding the whole mess. But what is getting a bit, I almost checked to see if he was available and I just couldn't let myself do it. Because I saw him. Not this Monday, obviously didn't play because it's back on Monday. Monday before, he's saying he doesn't even go into. He hardly even goes into the actual ground anymore. Not the ground. He goes to the ground, but he just stays behind, chatting in the concourse behind the pitch. I said, "You support Chelsea? That's our approach to the whole football business." But he doesn't drink. He literally is just chatting. We, of course, are getting take advantage of the cheap beer if they haven't sold it. But half time. But Burnley. Late equalised Burnley, which is going to make no difference to them at all, is it? They're relegated, Burnley.
You sound almost like you disbelieve Pochettino's claim that data suggests you'd be in the top 4.
Yes, I do disbelieve that. Even I know that's bollocks. Even somebody said he could have had a little... Well, that was before we failed to beat Burnley at home. But somebody said he could have got away with top 6. There's an argument where you could have argued top 6. No way.
For a team 12, that's a very tenuous argument.
But if you look, actually, and it's an if that is not going to happen, but if we won our games in hand, we would be 6th, 7th, because we've got games in hand on the front. But that is with the absolute knowledge that will not happen. We won't win our games in hand. We'll draw or, lose.
Because I almost wish he had said it on April the 1st, just so that we could have this.
Exactly.
This is it, the masterstroke April Fools, or is he? Then we get to decide.
He's just messing with us.
Yeah, is he messing? But what's quite interesting is it's a bolshy thing to say in a room of journalists who are going to
laugh out loud. I mean, presuming people were sniggering when he said it. Okay, I didn't watch it. I read it, but I thought.
But even shock horror! I've never managed a Premier League club, but my head tells me there are certain things I know if I said. I would be putting a target on my face.
Yeah, I don't get what's that's like. It's like that sort of teenage life's unfair. It's just stop straight away. That's why begrudgingly always quite like Ferguson. Whilst he'd huff and puff about stuff, he never whinged when Chelsea got Mourinho in and bought the league. He never complained about it. Never once. Wenger, of course, whinged for Britain about it. France, should I say? But Ferguson, the bar's been raised, we have to get on with it. And he didn't at any point, because it would have been quite entertaining if he said, it's a bit unfair, they've got more money than us now. Because you had all the money to begin for the last 20 years. Can't really complain when someone turns up with more money, because otherwise, means your success is null and void. But Pacino, what is he talking about? Top four? Where? What's that based on?
I mean, look, he could never do it because he may well be heading for the unemployment queue anyway, but it would have been a lot more substance and meat on the bones if he'd kind of come out and said, look, they've given all of these players I'm working with 8-year contracts. There is no fear factor for their career because it's just been ring-fenced. I'm trying to find a different way to motivate them.
Yeah. You try to make them think...
No, obviously he can't say that because... But, I don't take the Ten Hag approach of blame injuries or something.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, exactly. Well, the data suggests... Well, you don't... It's irrelevant. The actual data. How many goals we score.
It's the equivalent of him coming out and saying, well, look, I made Palmer the team captain in my fantasy football.
Yeah.
So I assume that meant
yes,
he was going to deliver.
Bloody copied me, didn't you? You bloody... I was thinking, look, I am a tactical genius. Palmer as my captain. And I checked. Not only did you do that...
No, I didn't. I had Son as my captain.
Oh, did you? It was bloody... Chris did it. Bloody Billy's back heelers. And he thought, he's literally just copying me. And yet, except when I do something stupid, when he doesn't copy me. Bastards. So yeah, that was the only slight compensation was, yeah, Palmer... 2 goals, and I stuck with Sterling because everyone's been so nasty to him. He got an assist as well, I think, Sterling. He was only on for like 17 minutes.
Now, what was Palmer's Panenka penalty slight pop at Sterling? Because in the previous game, of course, you'd got a penalty. Sterling refused to give it up.
Yeah.
Took it and missed.
Yeah.
Now, the next game, Palmer gets a penalty and dinks it down the middle.
Oh, did he?
With a very nonchalant... I mean, nonchalant... He looks like the poster child for nonchalant.
Yeah.
Doesn't
he? He has that.
He's
sort of,
kind of got that.
Yeah.
Which I like.
It's funny. And it's that sort of the shivering goal celebration. He's almost French, isn't he? The way he shrugs a lot.
He's an adopted Frenchman.
I tell you, I did some work for a French company once. I did quite a lot of work. And
this
were,
is not going to end well.
Really, it was entertaining. So I did loads of work with them for about, you're quite intense, over 3 weeks, and it's 50-50 French, construction company, French, 50% French, 50% British. And I was to do all these sort of workshops with them. And by the end of it, I obviously decided I was pretty fluent in French, which didn't even involve doing the Joey Barton speaking English with a French accent. It wasn't even that. All I would just do is, anyone said anything, I'd just shrug. I'd just do the French Gaulic shrug all the time. And I thought, yeah, I'm sort of just sliding naturally into there. Everything's a bit of a shrug and a sort of pursing of the lips. But I see why they do it, actually. It gives you a kind of whole non-committal view of the world. Get away with anything.
I kind of thought you was heading for the more Del Boy, bonnet de douche.
No, I wasn't doing the fonglaise. I was just literally, if they'd say something, I'd go, ooh. And maybe even a bit of a, maybe. So maybe a sort of, a French grunt as well, but I didn't risking any actual French based on the fact that they were French and would spot it as utter bollocks. I mean, the French, even if you speak French, pretty quick on acting baffled because you said instead of une. I mean, outrageous, because we have to listen to their ridiculous hello accents, and yet their inability to understand a slight difference from their pronunciation. Don't get started on that, Steve.
I think this is your
difficulties I've had in Paris, as we've discussed before. To be fair to those muggers, they didn't say a word. They just tried to steal stuff.
So they just shrugged at you.
They sort of did. They left and I called them back for some honest revenge. They just shrugged and left. Right, so this weekend we're
Brighton. We're away at Brighton, so...
A bit tricky, that.
It's a bit tricky, that one. That's always...
They're not going to roll over.
You know, they certainly don't have League 2 Haaland in their team. So...
I did read that as well. Just felt he should be in the news. He wanted to say something. A bit of coverage. Is that all they do? I mean, I get it, I suppose. That's all.
You know, the odd thing is I kind of get what he's talking about.
Oh really? I've not seen any of it. I've not seen any.
Only
of
in the set. I mean, I've said it before. I'm not sure if it's down to Haaland or Pep Guardiola, because when you watch Haaland in the Bundesliga, he's clearly capable of picking up a ball quite deep in the pitch
and running
and having this marauding run.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
obviously City teams tend to not open up as much against them, so that's already
harder,
different.
Yeah.
But you don't know if Pep's kind of saying, look, I want you to stick between the posts.
Well, I did notice, I read about it, and had noticed that Pep's defence was along, well, he said it's no, there wasn't enough people with him in the final third, and it's almost your point. Well, he could come in from the halfway line. And he's done it. He has done it in the Premier League as well, where you can maraud through and finish. But you're right, is Pep say you stay just in these places, right by the goal, because I just tap him in. And actually, whilst that might make sense statistically, it's a lot of things. Humans need a bit of variety, and he wants to be able to run around a bit, cause chaos in midfield. I think that's the danger when you say to somebody, really box them in, literally. It makes them bored.
It's a very bizarre conversation to try and have, with the implication being that someone that scores goals, which is meant to be the hardest thing in the game,
should be allowed to do
other
things,
isn't quite offering enough.
Yeah.
But when you do watch him, for example, he didn't have a shot on target against Arsenal again, which is not the first time that Saliba's put him in his pocket.
Well, that's what they said. They did say, somebody else said, no, there's nothing to do. Haaland's a world class, probably the best striker in the world, but Saliba and
Gabriel
are two of the best defenders in the Premiership this season. And they actually said that. That says, you know, no disgrace having a difficult time against those two, because they've been blocking out players all season. But it was interesting. He did have a nightmare. It was definitely not down to our solid defence, but against us in our 1-1, he missed about three sitters against us. I mean, really, with us, it was just pure luck. He had an off day.
Well, I suppose the test, or the, it's one of those things, maybe the conclusion's best left for 6 months after his next club, because you assume he's heading for La Liga.
Oh, do you think?
There
was talk, wasn't it? Barcelona are after him as well, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, there was talk Madrid were after him. If that's the case, it surely can't be for another 12 months, because they're assuming, you know, you assume they're getting Mbappe this summer.
Yeah, they're going to get both.
I don't imagine they're getting both at the same
Surely
time.
Surely that's going to break some kind of fair play rule.
You'd think so.
Is it ever going to compare to the disgraceful behaviour of
Wherever he goes, he's going for another big club, isn't he? So
it would have to. He's not going anywhere. Well, he won't go anywhere apart from Spain, really, because there's only Madrid and Barcelona can afford him.
Yeah, you're not. He's
not going to go to PSG.
He's not heading back to Germany. He's been there. No one's going to France.
No.
So La Liga will be the chance where you'll see him maybe have a bit more expectant sort of involvement.
Yeah.
Because bizarrely, considering they're two teams who have the same issue as City, in the sense, not corruption or anything, same issue as teams defending deep, there seems to be a bit more space.
Yeah.
So we'll see then, I suppose, 6 months after arriving there, if he's scoring goals where he's
like breaking all the records
picking
again.
Up, you know, then
I think, yeah, it'd be interesting. I think it's fascinating that Roy Keane said it, because, you know, he's quite just miserable git.
You do get the feeling that, as you say, he says things
just
to get some.
So I think they all do, to be fair to Roy Keane, but yeah, he gets, yeah. Yeah, what's the most controversial thing I could say? Yeah, Haaland's a League Two player. Oh, brilliant.
Yeah, he definitely reeks of someone that needs to get the camera on him.
Yeah, no one's paying. There's only so many times I can just snarl.
Also, when you see him say things now, as opposed to when he first started, and he was perhaps not expecting, he hadn't quite got his head around the idea that you can say something that will really be chewed up by the media.
Yeah, reverberate. That
really resonate. And now when he says it, he almost kind of looks like that slightly tipsy uncle at Christmas who
He's decided he's got a dance move up his belt that he shouldn't be polishing off at this moment.
He's chucking out things with that sort of cheeky grin, just
to offend people.
Yeah, it's kind of like the.
I don't believe he thinks. But I think reading the article, I didn't hear him say it, but I think his implication wasn't that he's a second League Two player. It's some of his play is League Two play because he doesn't create enough or whatever he's supposed to do. Right. Do you want another one, Steve? Because the two of us would have to do that old pause thing. Do you want a quick one?
Yeah, I guess we've got time.
Yeah, you're...
5-5.
Yeah. Data suggests we're top four. And you go, fucking data. Rupert is all upset. He's done his knee in. which he also claimed was by fighting Chelsea headhunters. He's more deluded. He should support Chelsea, Rubens, the Arsenal sporting manager of the Gypsy Queen, because he's more deluded than we are. The nonsense he's coming out with. You'd have thought he'd be happy. But he's like, I see the trouble with Arsenal. It was all sort of Guns N' Roses a few weeks ago, wasn't it? To nick your favourite band. But it does feel now a little bit like it's running away from you, even though you haven't done anything wrong. You just drew with Man City at Main Road or wherever the fuck they play now. That's not bad.
Yeah, I think...
It's just Liverpool aren't losing, isn't it? That's the
yeah,
trouble.
You've got... I mean, Liverpool have got by far the easiest run in.
Bastards.
There isn't... I mean, they've got Everton away, which you kind of hope something spicy might... But normally spicy means Everton going down to 10 men and Liverpool winning.
Say, Everton, am I forgetting something? I don't think Everton have taken points off Liverpool in years. Have they?
It doesn't feel like it.
No. I don't think so.
I'm almost tempted to say the big test is this weekend, or the latest big test, because it seems to be every other week. But if Arsenal can get a result at Brighton... Man United have got Liverpool, and that's meant to be a fixture that transcends form.
Yeah, so, and where is it at?
And it's at Old Trafford.
Yes, no. I think the definite chance, at least a draw. I think Man United. See, we all know a bit more tomorrow.
But dare I say, we could actually do with if Chelsea got a 4 or 5-0 embarrassing win.
Yeah,
fire and really them up. Upset. Yeah. Yeah, really kind of got under.
I think I like the way you're going with it. I always thought. They get a head of steam up. They beat Chelsea, then they beat Liverpool, and then they could get into top four.
That's a much more logical way to go. Whereas
let's go with your approach.
If you get to a point where you go to Old Trafford and you've kind of got to feel like we owe you something.
Yeah, we've let ourselves down.
We've
once again embarrassed ourselves in the city. So let's see how can we grab this back. Yeah, that, you know, I like the way you're going with that. That's good. Because I am going, and a little bit of me wondering why I'm going. But I know, I quite like good Man United because, yeah, if we don't win, no one will be surprised. And if we do win, they'll probably even play one step beyond at the end of the game because they only save that for big results. Well, it's not been played very often recently.
I've watched your last couple of games, and I can safely say... You've got two players who I think would be good squad players for Arsenal.
Well, Palmer and...
I quite like Gusto.
Yeah.
Gusto.
He's been... He's training again. Chilwell's injured. He's, of course, in my side.
Who else was injured? There was another player injured, and I thought... Oh, Martinez of Man United.
Yeah.
Seems to come back, play one game.
Yeah, Chilwell has terrible time with injuries, which is a shame, because he is actually... He is a world-class defender, stroke winger, but he's not fit enough.
And now
again, Reece James is the same.
Out of nowhere now, there's suggestions you'd be willing to sell James in the summer.
Well, we have to sell the ones that didn't cost us anything, because we've got to balance our books, because we're fucked. Unbelievable. So Gallagher, James...
How would you genuinely feel if those two were sold?
Absolutely livid. And with force, I hadn't really spotted it, but it was in the press today on the... BBC website, rather, they were saying, of course,
it's good that you don't
Mason Mount.
BBC is press.
Like gutter press. I was still deluded. Somebody was really, I think it was Nathan, was really laughing because I said something about the BBC being, you know, acceptable face of the disgrace that is journalism. Mm. He's, of course, furious, Nathan. He's still furious about the World Health Organization taking control of the world. Nathan gets upset about that sort of stuff. I tell him, couldn't care less. Jeez, those hats made me think maybe Harry had turned up.
You know what,
up.
I actually thought the same way.
But
it's amazing what a purple trilby would do.
But what I was about to say before we got waylaid by the hat squad was that, of course, Mason Mount returned to the bridge.
He's not playing, though, is he?
Well, he played.
He came off the bench and scored.
Scored what they thought was the winner against...
Liverpool.
No.
No.
No, it was the game... Was it Brentford?
Brentford, yeah.
And then they got... It was all in injury
time.
There's
so many games at the moment.
It was injury time. They got an injury time goal from Mason. And then they got another one. 9 minutes of injury time. I mean, Fergie would have just stopped the game. Fergie wouldn't have... He'd have stopped the game said, no, we've got our 30-time winner. Stop the game.
United were so piss poor. And then they took the lead, and it almost felt, I don't want to say reminiscent of Fergie, because I never saw his team really play that bad.
No.
But it felt like they'd got away with one.
Yeah, and then they didn't.
And then, bizarrely, it's kind of a strange thing to add. So, my other half's name is Io.
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 H-A-E-R. Right, Io.
And of course, that's who scored for Brentford.
Oh.
So she woke up because the TV went, oh yeah, and she was like, did somebody just call me?
Not at all. Loving the football. Just, your namesake did something worthwhile.
Just somebody who happens to sound a little bit like you. Can exclusively reveal I'm not going out with the Brentford centre-back.
Well, Steve, not there would be anything wrong with that.
I'm now just picturing it.
You're picturing it? You're whimsical. Be careful, Steve.
I'm thinking football.
I think you'll find that a Pope once said even thinking about infidelity is infidelity, and you just thought about it.
I was thinking about football.
You better go home and say to Aya, I've been unfaithful with you, but the good news is it was with your namesake and it was only in my head.
And I can
and
now...
then I'd like you to film her response to that.
And I could now afford a holiday.
We've got 4 weeks together in the summer. We can free. But yeah, so yeah, you're right, that's a sort of very un-Man United thing to do in the old days. That would have never happened, but exactly the sort of thing, I mean, in a way, a lot of parallels with Chelsea, exactly the sort of thing Chelsea would do at the moment. You cannot hold on to a lead, ever, no matter how shite the opposition is. You can tell they can know. In the past, you could see teams almost give up. I mean, Arsenal have had that those phases in their history, Man United, Liverpool, where you could see teams thinking, well, that's it. Because they won't do anything stupid. They have utter confidence flows through the team. Now, you watch Chelsea, and you know, unless we're 4-0 up, but even then, all they need is a quick couple of goals, and it's panic sets, and you just see it. And if it isn't on the pitch, it's definitely in the crowd. There's no confidence we could hold anything down. So if even we're 2-0 up, with 5 minutes to go against Man United tomorrow, there'll be nothing but nerves. That's all it'll be. People shitting themselves.
Well, it's quite an interesting game to watch, isn't it? Because it's two teams who at some point you thought couldn't be any worse.
Yeah.
And they've spectacularly, consistently...
Yeah, you say that, though. But are Man United having that bad a season? I kind of... For their glory days, yes. But if you look at it, they definitely have a chance, if, although outside of top four. Because Tottenham and Villa aren't unassailable. Obviously, the top three is taken care of, but they've got a chance of top four. They're odds on to get FA Cup final. I mean, I'd bite your arm off for that for Chelsea at the moment. I mean, we've got obviously a chance, but it very much is an outside chance of an FA Cup final.
You have to be somewhat pragmatic in the sense that A, they've spent a lot of money, and B, they have a good revenue.
Yeah.
You know, they bring in a ton of money, massive attendance each week. So the expectant, it's not just about the fact that they were so successful under Fergie, it's about the revenue they have.
They should be better. You're right. I mean, totally. I mean, and I think the Gacy's aren't taking all the money out anymore, are they? Or are they
if
still
you
doing
had,
that?
I mean, I'm sure if I did a Pochettino and checked the data, what I'm about to say is complete BS. But if you...
Might stop you, Steve.
If you was going to do like a five-fold accumulator and you needed to find a home team that you were confident were going to win for the last game, and you were picking between Luton and Man United.
Well, if they had to win in the last game.
You just need a team to win at home.
You'd say Luton.
I think you'd be looking more at Luton because you feel that there's this. And I use Luton as the example, because not just because of the ground atmosphere, but because financially they're at the complete other end of the spectrum in the Premier League. And you certainly, even if you did still pick United, it wouldn't be as straightforward as...
It should be.
You know, when Liverpool are at home, you expect them to win.
Yeah.
When Man City, I thought, against Arsenal were largely just... Arsenal played their part, but that was not a City team that were going to win the title.
No. And you're right, that stat that they've not beaten a top five team, and actually, they've not even beaten Chelsea this season, which is bizarre. I mean, there can't be many teams that haven't managed to win at least one of the legs. So I don't... No, you're right. I think it is But I think, I suppose my point is, Man United is still nowhere near as disgracefully underperforming as Chelsea are. Because whilst they spent a lot of money, they've not spent anything like the amount we've spent. And we're just, we have slipped because of last night's results. We have slipped into the bottom half of the table. Mm-hmm. But you know, I was quite enjoying being in the bottom half of the table, as I told you, because I said to Klaus one Monday where we were 11th or whatever it is, I said, look, we're top of the league. He goes, fuck off, you idiot. Top of the bottom.
Even now, if you did that, you're not top.
Now I don't think we're even top of the bottom. But yeah, so I think actually it's a shame because I know, I kind of always want to get Klaus on. And I particularly want to get Klaus on because we know the shirt scandal of England.
Oh, I thought you were just going to say Germany.
Oh, I am. And then France. But brilliantly, the Germans, an incredible knack, have managed to make their 44 look like the SS insignia.
Now, am I the only one, when I initially saw it, even before I read the headline, it was the first thing I could see I could see where the story was going.
I think I did. I'm not sure, because you're right. I think I read the headline almost at the same time.
So I saw the headline was something to do with this. You couldn't buy this shirt.
Numbers. Yeah, I think you're right. As soon as I read that,
I looked at the picture, I was like, okay, I know where this is going.
It's just superb, isn't it? I mean, how did that not? You know, I mean, what a sort of that world. People look at these things over and over again. But I suppose it's. Well, does anyone play? Is there a 44 player for England, for Germany? But what was really, I mean, obviously appalling, but then of course part of me is thinking, in Germany, you know, you're allowed to put your name on. And some people are called Adolf. Are you allowed to put Adolf on an England, a Germany, Germany shirt?
Definitely shouldn't put it on an England shirt. That's a very.
But, see what I mean? Because Fred, Rufus got a mate called Enoch. And he kind of, in this country, that's obviously nowhere near as bad, but there's a kind of connotation of that, which is entirely unfair.
I mean, there's a secondary mindset as to whether or not we should be talking to the parents of the
child called Adolf.
The child called Adolf.
Well, that's it. Are you allowed to christen a child Adolf in Germany? Because they're quite strict about all that sort of stuff, aren't they? They're really anti, you're not allowed, I mean, they wouldn't...
There can't be no Adolfs at all. It's a very strange conversation. But actually, football, thanks to Adidas...
Adidas making 44 look like SS.
I just went American and pronounced it Adidas.
Adidas. And of course, no.
Do you find it kind of strange that you have these outrage, you know, no matter how bizarre the outrage is, there then seems to be a cluster of them? Because like when you had the fallout with the England kit, it was quite a unique story in the sense of you don't get that kind of kit story very often.
No, and then there was the
cock. And now a week later...
Mind you, if I'm honest, you're the only person that's pointed out how big the cock is in the...
Oh, the French shirt.
Did you read that somewhere? Did you just look at it and say that cock's...
No, there was outrage in France.
Was there? Furious about the size of the cock. Hours of fun with this.
Although I did, you know, without... destroying my search engine by putting in big cock. I did actually go and look at it. And it
what's
does,
the biggest cock that's ever been on a shirt?
It does look. Have you seen it?
I haven't actually.
It does look.
I don't think. I've got family settings. I don't think I can search big cock on my Google Chrome account.
Yeah, we urge any listeners, go if you haven't seen it, be very careful with how you're typing into
your. Yeah, careful what you search for. But yeah, you're right. There's three shirt scandals in one week. Very different, but all, in a way, kind of symbolise the issues with those countries, doesn't it, really? It's quite funny. Oh, I see what you mean. It's bigger than the 10.
It's bigger than the
cock. Cock is bigger than Mbappe's breast.
Now, I'm extremely innocent, so the first thing it made me want to do is go to Nando's. But...
I have your French cock sandwich, please.
But it's definitely it's noticeable.
It is big and golden, quite plump as well.
Also getting flashbacks to my nights out in the ballroom.
Engorged cock almost. But yeah, I think you're right. That is interesting. Three shirts. So that's it. They're coming threes.
Three shirt scandals in a week.
It's
quite interesting. This cluster. I've actually now decided it's very much a publicity thing.
They do it intentionally.
They've done it because the kit sales... It's almost... you're not talking about the price, which is actually the big story for these things.
Yes. as we talked about
last week. And B, you couldn't buy this level of media coverage.
Exactly, no one care. And now I am actually tempted to buy a French top just to say, have you seen the size of my cock?
Well, yeah, it definitely.
What do you notice? What do you notice about what I'm wearing? How big the cock is? I mean, it just goes on and on. We could finish the whole podcast talking about it. But yeah, I think you're right. It's free publicity. What was somebody was saying about they got the publicity they got from something, and they had to withdraw this tiny stupid little ad, but they had to withdraw it because it got. But the publicity, the free publicity they got by withdrawing the ad, was, you know, 10 times the cost of the ad in the first place. I can't remember what it was.
Well, often but it the does masters of it is, I mean, we're giving them a name drop now, which tells you how good they were. But the masters of it were always Paddy Power, who got so many of their adverts kind of
banned for
this and that. For the record, found most of them hilarious.
Remind me of one of theirs, though. Remind me of one of their funny Paddy Power inappropriate band bits.
Well, they have one which is based at the horse races.
Yeah.
Which heavily looks at drunk women and
the odds.
various odds. But they've had so many that have kind of got some kind of feedback.
Yeah.
Most of which I found, like I say, quite funny.
They're funny, so you remember it, then you remember them, and that's all they're after in the first place. Yeah, there are, the ones that were really good at it years ago were Benetton, but they do just shocking ads. And the ad would just get far more publicity because it was so shocking. And you say, well, what's this got to do with fashion? The answer was nothing at all. But now Benetton are far more recognisable a brand than ever before.
Well, I can remember speaking with a commercial director of sorts. He was somebody who was very high up in advertising.
Yeah.
And he used to say, this was 30 years ago, 25 years ago.
Yeah.
So you're going to think instantly of loads of examples when I say it, and it sounds recent. But he was like, look, if you can't get a really enticing song, you come up with an irritating jingle. And that's what gets stuck in your head.
And
that's why you think about it.
Yeah.
And if you think since, all these little irritating earworms.
Well, yes, of course, the big, big companies all have their sort of 3-4 notes that you would remember as their sound brand logo. How do we get there? But the Germans.
That's all stemmed from the Germany.
The Germans. Free advertising.
In short, I was must have seen it.
Back to Del Boy. So I am going to guess that somewhere in Bavaria, there's a bloke with a printing T-shirt number press saying, come over here if you want a 44 on the back of your shirt. Because sadly, we know, Steve, be a large group of Germany supporters who will want the 44 on the back of their shirt. And do you see what I mean? There'll be somebody. Can't be that hard to come up with a number.
As soon as I saw the story, I sent it to another friend just, to have a discussion about it, as you do. And his initial response was, how many people were buying this shirt for them to decide, hold on, we need to stop this?
Exactly. Well, it obviously was enough for them to say, do we have any players on the number 44 on their back? No. So why are they doing so many 40? Oh, shit. How did we let that happen?
They must have seen it, mustn't they?
Well, no, because you're right. You wouldn't put 44 together because nobody's going to play. I mean, actually, it's a good point because, you've got ridiculous numbers on the back of club shirts. I haven't really looked into it, but I'm guessing on international shirts, it's far less ridiculous. It goes from 1 to 22. So they hadn't really occurred to them that somebody would spot 44 looks just right because there's no player. No England player's got 44 as their number, have they?
Well, I'm assuming no. I mean, I've read a lot of variations of the Germany sort of kit story, and none of them said 44 currently worn by.
Yeah.
So I think you're right.
Well, exactly. No.
I'm assuming that.
No, and that's what I mean, because it's like, I get it, when you've got a squad, it can happen, you get. It goes up, but got the old days when it was the shirts were number 1 to 11. I get that stopped, but they don't. What 44 you might get if you're in a big squad for a Premiership team, but an international squad is never more than 26 players, is it?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just looking now and I'm quietly confident nobody is. And yeah. like I said, I didn't see it in any of the stories. So that does mean...
They worked it
they
out.
They saw it as a single four and didn't see the obvious connection, which is just about plausible.
Yeah.
And that meant they had to see it when... And also, enough people were
why
worried.
We had 5,000 requests for 44.
That's quite a disturbing...
And it is, yeah, it is, because that's it. But that's the, it's your good question. How many have been ordered? And of course, probably the next... And the next thing is, pop round to the houses of the people who ask for an SS shirt. Pretty sure they're going to be nasty people.
if the trend is you're ordering online, you're going to have an address of people worth visiting.
Exactly. Just pop round, see what they've got in their cellars. Even worse than Klopp's, no doubt.
Now, there. Interestingly, I quite like the this almost cultural attachment to each of the issues. Because with the England thing, it was very much outrage.
Utter lack of nationalism.
You almost felt ridiculous. Like... You know, what was quite interesting was the backlash from the people complaining was just as strong, and it all felt like it was going to end in a aggressively worded email, which sounded quite British.
Yeah,
the French, it seems quite fitting, have big cock problems.
We just pretend we've got big cocks, even though we all know they're tiny little things.
And now Germany, it's like, actually, there's not even like a squad number for this player.
Basically, Poussins, the silly little Frenchies. See how long it took me to come up with the word? I was just basically trying to remember the name of that tiny chicken. I remembered it. It's French. It's a Poussin. Good. No, you're right. It is culturally appropriate. And then poor old Germany, try as they might, cannot let it go. Cannot leave their disgraceful past behind them. Excellent. Well, that's good. So I think we've done it, haven't we? Steve, I think we've nailed another...
Yeah, we kind of... Look, we've hit this weekend's... I mean, we've slipped out of the habit of giving tips because we're all so poor at who you should put in your team.
I think I might be wildcarding because I'm not going anywhere. Oh, no, shit, I am going somewhere. Obviously, Man United tomorrow. I'm going to the theatre on Friday, and then I've got The Underworld on Saturday, Steve. Out.
Yeah, it's a very... What are you going to see in the theatre?
I don't know. Gemma's organised it.
I can't remember. Are we going to see in The Underworld?
No, I'm going to see The Underworld. We've had this conversation.
Oh, we have.
Ali Pally.
You've got to understand, once you're of a certain age growing up in Camden, The Underworld is only...
No, I don't only one thing. No, we had the same problem last week. Yeah. So, The Underworld.
The Underworld.
Of, you know, 90s, early 90s rave fame. So, it would be a brilliant combination of old ravers and youngsters. Probably just there to laugh at the old ravers. Probably what they'll be there.
Kind of feels like in between... 30-minute tracks, you'll get to stop and each talk about what you did at the theatre the night before.
Exactly. We'll be so sophisticated. By Joe, going with Buff, who should have been my brother-in-law until... Well, that didn't happen. Good job they're not listening to this, actually. But Buff, naughty Buff. He'll be naughty Buff. He's going to be up to all sorts concerned about Buff's approach. He's younger. He's young. He's still got that young raver approach to ravings, which is always slightly anxious. Because as we've discussed in the past, Steve, my... willpower gland was never quite as well developed as maybe it should have been. I think something happened. So don't just say no. Sometimes struggles. So we'll see. We talk about that next week, Steve. What about you? Got anything planned?
I haven't thought that far ahead.
Because back to Wednesdays, aren't we? It's still halfway through the week. Weird though, because I was travelling home, so I didn't work yesterday. Work today. 3-day week. Good old Scargill would be pleased. That's what he was always after.
Sounds like a capitalist dream.
Well, maybe when they happened a 3-day week as a schoolboy, I was thinking, yeah, I don't see the problem. Seems like a lot of sense. 3-day week, 4-day weekend. Let's see what the problem is with that.
As you asked about the coming days, this sort of grey cloud sort of crept over my consciousness like I was trying to ignore something. And I think there's a cup final in the Camden Sunday League.
Right.
I do like to get along to.
Good.
Like's a strong word. So it may well be a Sunday morning at Hackney Marshes.
Hackney Marshes. I've been there for years. It always makes me laugh. Just how many pitches are there?
Too many.
It feels like thousands, but I'm presuming it's not 100.
And invariably, what will happen is if you go to watch somebody play, you've got a mate or family member or something, you'll always end up at the pitch at the opposite side.
Yeah, you're in the wrong place for the...
And your instincts are, okay, I'll just walk across.
don't.
And then you realise just how big that place is.
It never ends. No, I remember. Yeah, I remember being gobsmacked. Thought, how's this happen? How did this happen? So many pigeons.
Although, saying it out loud in 2024 is kind of impressive. It's not
survived. Yeah, no, you're right. Because when somebody pointed out, said, like, Hampstead Heath, obviously our manor, no football pitches at all. Not a single football pitch on there. And they claim there's one by the Lido.
But there isn't. You say Lido. I don't know what a Lido is.
I do. It's an affectation. Because Gemma, far more sophisticated than me, has been to Italy. And the Lido's all based on a Lido in Venice. That's where the word comes from. It's pronounced Lido. And so I say Lido. Nath picks me up on it as well. But then, to be fair to Nathan, he also said, yeah, he's been there. I haven't even got the excuse to be. I've never even been to it. But Lido is the Italian pronunciation, and that's where the word comes from. So it's a bit like cafe and calf. The word is cafe, but everyone calls it a calf. Because we've ruined it, as we always do with other fancy foreign words. But yeah, but by there, there should be a piece of there, but there's no goalposts, so that's...
It's bring your own.
Yeah.
Jumpers for goalposts.
It's nonsense, which is a bit of a disgrace, really, because they play that Quidditch there. I mean, what the fuck is that going? How would they why are they allowed to play Quidditch?
Anyway. They
actually play
Quidditch. This is the Harry Potter thing.
Yeah. Have you not seen them? They've run around. Then, I mean, I'm not joking, they've got, what are those things called, brooms between their legs. They're adults. They're running around with brooms between their legs. And I have stopped myself 5 times now, not shouting, you're not flying. I mean, they are literally running around with a broomstick between their legs, pretending they're playing.
It's good that I've been pre-warned about this, because I would.
Have you never seen that?
I haven't. I would naturally have assumed this was just some sort of posh Hampstead kid laughing at the fact that some people have to be cleaners in life. But no, it's not.
They run around. They've got the hoops, okay. And they're running around. And I'm thinking, but the only good thing about Quidditch is it means you can fly, because I have seen the films, because I've got children of that age. And that is actually quite a lot I like about the imagination involved in them books, because I did have to read them to them before they could read themselves, lazy little twerps. But I cannot believe people have thought, let's play Quidditch for real, unless it involved developing a broom that flew. I just can't get it. They are literally running around throwing balls at each other. I'm thinking, like, we've got rugby, cricket, football, obviously the three greatest sports ever developed. And you've decided to play Quidditch. I mean, I just gobsmacking. These people should be rounded up and made to pick up litter, Steve. That's
you wouldn't what they be able to be. Catch them up. The good thing is, if they picked up litter, they'd already have a broom.
That's what we should be saying. Are you going to put that to good use, you idiots? But of course, they don't call it Quidditch anymore. Do you know why?
Of course I don't. Why would I?
They don't call it Quidditch anymore because of J.K. Rowling's, you know, unfortunate comment about women. So they don't, they've cancelled her because of her stance that, what is that word? We need a word for people that menstruate. Must know all this story.
I know about her being cancelled. I didn't realise it stretched as far as the fact that Quidditch,
they now call Quidditch something like 8 hoops.
So they don't call a made up game.
The name it was given by the person who made it up.
Who made it up.
Because she said something.
Okay. That seems like a good place to stop, doesn't it, really?
I think we've nailed fantasy football for this week by going into Quidditch.
Steve, and this is why we stick to the proper made-up game of fantasy football.
Proper made-up game of fantasy football. Fantasy of a game that does actually exist. And at no point does anyone fly, unless, of course, it's a noughties Arsenal player flying, pretending to be an imaginary tackle by somebody, otherwise known as Perez or Pires. What was his name? Perez. You weren't even listening. Well, you were off Googling Quidditch.
I'm trying to work out what Quidditch is.
Right, Steve, next week.
Always a pleasure.
You said you weren't going to say that anymore.
Oh, did I?
Good to see you, Steve. Next week, it's going to be a surprise to everybody, but I don't think Harry will be here next week because he'll be on holiday. From what we're going to be asking ourselves.
We generally know in advance that he won't be here.
We'll be on holiday from holiday. Take care.
Have a good one.